Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, September 11, 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives us the privacy of our priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, congratulations are in order for those of you who passed the new dispensation, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday dispensation. Normally our classes are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but they were changed this week to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you passed the test. You cleared. This was the attack of the mosquito, not the elephant, okay? Today is 9/11, and 22 years ago, the United States of America had a great wake-up call. The question is, did we wake up? It was a warning to client nation USA, that we better turn back to God and to His Word, or something far, far greater is on the horizon. And that is the fifth cycle of national discipline. And the United States of America will be gone as a client nation to God. as we speak, our nation is in great apostasy and degeneracy. We have enemies on the outside, evil nations that would love to destroy the United States of America, whether it's Russia or China or North Korea or Iran or many Arab nations. But we also have enemies inside our nation, criminals, Antifa, socialists, liberals. And we are currently doing an excellent job of destroying our own nation from within. Right now, we are living on the edge of the volcano. But the problem in America is a spiritual problem. And the only solution is a spiritual solution. Now this is normally the Tuesday night class, we are in the book of Joel. And we are in Joel chapter 2. And we are witnessing the biblical doctrine of repentance. And Joel told the people, Judah, that they absolutely needed to change their thinking. Change their thinking. That's what the word repent means. To change your thinking. Turn back to God. Turn back to the Word of God. Turn from, you need to rebound as a believer. You need to change from negative volition to positive volition. You need to change from arrogance to humility. You need to have some respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the communicator of it. And Joel is telling Judah, you need to turn back. If you don't, the fifth cycle of discipline is coming to the southern kingdom. Well, the same thing is true for the United States of America. We must turn back to God and to His Word. For the unbeliever, that means considering the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Messiah, the only Savior, the Redeemer, and His salvation work on the cross, and then to simply believe in Him. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For the believer in Jesus Christ, repentance, biblical repentance, demands rebound, first of all, followed by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, and fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The hope for America is that the pivot of spiritually mature believers, it must increase. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. 9/11. And yesterday, Hal Lindsey had an article describing enemies inside our own nation. It was entitled School Militants. He says it used to be a cause for celebration to see the little ones on their way to school each September. That used to be you start in September. Now you start in August. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Another school year had begun. When adults saw the children, they took special pleasure knowing that a new group of young Americans was being raised. They would learn essential skills like math, reading, and writing. They would gain crucial knowledge of the world through geography, social studies, and history. But that's not true anymore. Now when you see the small ones headed for class, you can't help but be worried that they will not be learning basic skills. You question whether their minds will be filled instead with confusion on even the most basic issues. Instead of opening worlds of wonder to their students, you worry that some educators are intent on opening worlds of debauchery and depression. And that's going on in schools all over America as we speak. It didn't happen when I was going to school, but it is going all the time in America today. The education departments of some states seem more concerned with indoctrination than in teaching educational fundamentals. On August 24th, the Daily Signal reported, quote, "A U.S. District Court judge denied Maryland parents' request Thursday for an order allowing them to opt their children out of instruction using LGBTQ pride storybooks. The parents demanded the right to opt out of an LGBTQ book curriculum for pre-K through fifth grades in Montgomery County Public Schools. Although Maryland law requires schools to allow parents to opt their children out of all sexuality instruction, and to provide advance notice for such lessons, this new policy adopted in March excluded any and every opt-out right. Parents no longer have an opt-out right. Similar things are happening in other states. The Daily Wire recently reported California, you can figure it'd be California. California Attorney General Rob Bonta filed a civil rights lawsuit against a school district on Monday to halt its recently adopted policy that requires schools to inform parents about student gender transitions. Big Brother is alive and well in the United States of America. Big Brother claims to want what's best for the children. But driving a wedge between child and parent is surely not the answer. In modern history, the attack on families has never been more severe than it is today. This is not about tolerance or caring, but about a militant government takeover of our children's minds. And that means the destruction of Client Nation USA. Be warned. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18, verse 6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. That was Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, some of you thought that might have been something I said. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. It is better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. We are in great, great apostasy and degeneracy. But in the time of Joel, in the southern kingdom, Judah, the very same thing was going on. The southern kingdom, Judah, was in the fourth cycle of national discipline, and they were right on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. And we are studying, the theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord includes the tribulation, 7-year tribulation period. It includes the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. It includes the millennial, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ after his return. All of that is included in the day of the Lord. Certain passages emphasize the tribulation. Other passages emphasize the second advent. And others emphasize the millennial reign of Christ in the millennium. Joel chapter 2, let's start the corrected translation at verse 11. Joel 2, verse 11. Then the Lord thundered his command at the head of his army because his military organization, his forces, are very great. Because mighty is the Omnipotent One, the Lord Jesus Christ, who manufactures victory out of his word by the sword of his mouth. Because the day of the Lord is great and very dreadful. In fact, who can endure it? Few or no one. Verse 12. But even now, declares the Lord, turn back to me with all your heart. This is the biblical doctrine of repentance. Turn back to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with wailing, and tear your heart and not your garments, and turn back to the Lord your God, because he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and mercy. And he, the Lord, repents. And when the Lord is the one doing the repenting, that is an anthropopathism describing the function of the righteousness and justice of God. And he repents from sending divine judgment. And then verse 14. Who knows when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will turn back and repent the function of his integrity, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and leave a blessing behind him. And what is that blessing? The gift offering and a drink offering, so that you can offer it to the Lord your God. So that last phrase, that a gift offering and a drink offering will be given for you to offer to the Lord your God. In other words, as a result of a nation turning back to God and to the Word of God, there will be a great celebration. This celebration is based on who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's the gift offering, the Minkah, and also what the Lord Jesus Christ did for man on the cross, His salvation work on the cross. He solved our problem of sin. And that's the drink offering, the Nesek. By interpretation, God accepted the repentance of the Jews in Joel's day by stopping the fourth cycle of national discipline and restoring their agricultural economy. The grains were back. The vineyards were all back. But by application, He will accept the repentance of the remnant in the tribulation by delivering them and bringing them into the millennial kingdom with all of its blessings. In the millennial kingdom, we will celebrate the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. For the Christian, repentance begins with rebound, getting back into fellowship with God. And then today in the church age, rebound must be followed by a change of mental attitude, from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. It must be followed by living the spiritual life. It must be followed by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. A right relationship with God, in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life, results in maximum divine good production and sharing the happiness of God. So that last phrase, which says a gift offering and a drink offering for you to offer to the Lord your God. The gift offering is the Minkah, and the Minkah speaks of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The drink offering is the Nesek, and the drink offering speaks of the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And these two offerings present what communion in the church age is all about, remembering the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to Joel 2, verses 15 to 17, where we have a call for national repentance and a sacred assembly. In Joel 2, verse 15, we have three commands. The first command is sound the shofar. We've studied the first command. The second command is set apart a holy fast. The third command is call a sacred assembly. We have studied the first command, which says give a blast on the shofar in Zion. This is the cal imperative of the verb taka plus the noun shofar plus the preposition beit prefixed to the noun sion. The verb taka means to give a blast on a horn or to sound an alarm. In our verse, it means to give a blast on a special horn, the ram's horn, called the shofar. The imperative mood is a command. The imperative mood emphasizes the urgency of the moment. There is no time to wait. And that's what Joel is teaching. The urgency of the moment. There's no time to wait. The only hope for you and for the nation is to turn back to God and His Word now through biblical repentance. Shofar is a ram's horn, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, on page 1051, says that this horn was mostly used in times of war. It is used in Joel 2:1 and in Joel 2:15 to warn the people in Jerusalem of an impending military invasion and disaster. For the Jews in Joel's day, the locust invasion was merely a preview of the coming Assyrian invasion. For the Jews in the tribulation period, this is a warning of the military invasion of the king of the north. The blast on the shofar was an early form of an air raid siren. The shofar was blown by a sentry who was stationed on the walls of Jerusalem to alert the people of impending danger. However, what is unique in our verse is that the warning does not come from the sentry on the walls of Jerusalem, but from Zion, the holy mountain. You see, Solomon's temple was on Mount Zion. And there in the temple was where the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And therefore, the purpose of blowing the shofar from Zion was to strike fear in the people. This was the ultimate wake-up call, because they would know that the coming military invasion was from God, judgment from God. And therefore, this was a spiritual wake-up call from God, because the fifth cycle of national discipline was very near. Amos 3:6 describes it this way: when a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? So the first command, give a blast on the shofar in Zion. Now that we start tonight with the second command, and sanctify a fast. And this is the PAL imperative of the verb kadash, joined by a makef to the noun tzom. Kadash. Oop. Where are we at here? Normally I wouldn't know what to do, but you didn't put the ink on there. Kadesh. That's Q-A-D-A-S-H in the Hebrew. Kadesh. And Kadesh in the Kal stem means to set apart or to consecrate. But in the PL stem, which is the intensified stem of the Hebrew, and that's what we have, kadash means to set apart as sacred or holy, to observe something as holy and sacred. And then we have the noun tzom, which looks like this in the Hebrew, T-S long O-M, tzom. And tzom is the Hebrew word for fast or fasting. So the corrected translation of command number 2 is set apart a holy fast or a sacred fast. All right, a couple of things. One, the spiritual wake-up call, the blast on the ram's horn in Zion, was to be followed by a special time of intensified worship. So the spiritual wake-up call of the blast on the ram's horn from Zion was to be followed by a special time of intensified worship. Two, the purpose for fasting is not to lose weight or to go on a diet. The purpose for fasting is to give your time, to give you time for intensified worship of the Lord. The purpose for this fasting was to give you time for intensified worship of the Lord. It's time at this time, Joel is saying, it's time for you believers to get your priorities straightened out. What really matters? What really matters is God and the Word of God. You need to not only rebound, you need to not only change from negative volition to positive volition, you need to not only change from arrogance to humility, but you need to consistently and faithfully assemble to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. So three, time that would ordinarily be devoted to something else is now set apart for intensified worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Time that would ordinarily be devoted to something else is now set apart for intensified worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, this intensified worship of the Lord will include rebound, getting back into fellowship with God. It includes prayer, and it includes intensified study of the Word of God. This intensified worship of the Lord will include rebound, prayer, and intensified study of the Word of God. So the corrected translation, we have two of the three commands. First command, give a blast on the shofar in Zion. And the second command, set apart a holy fast. Now command number three, call a solemn assembly. This is the cal imperative of the verb kara plus the noun atzara. Kara. Q-A-R-A Aleph. Kara. And kara means to call or to summon or to proclaim. We'll translate it to call. The imperative mood introduces command number three. And then we have the noun atzara. I-N-A-T-S-A-R-A-H. Atzara. And atzara means a sacred assembly, so we have. Give a blast on the shofar in Zion, sound the alarm, that's command number one. Set apart a holy fast, that's command number two. Call a sacred assembly, command number three. One. Joel is telling the people in the southern kingdom, Judah, that the problem in our nation is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem, and therefore the solution is a spiritual solution. And right now, the problems in the United States of America, it's the same thing. The problem in this nation is a spiritual problem. And the solution, the only solution, is a spiritual solution. And if this nation does not repent, biblical repentance, does not turn back to God and the Word of God, for the unbeliever, faith in Christ. For the believer, rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. And then consistently and faithfully metabolize doctrine. Find a sound Bible teaching church. That's not easy to find today. Find a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church and get your patootie in there and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Day after day after day after day. But if you don't, well, one of these days, in your lifetime, there will be no United States of America. It will be over. Over. So you sitting there with your arrogance now and think this is all a bunch of hooey, well, you'll wait when it's gone. And then tell that to the Lord. Maybe you ought to tell that to the Lord now. Maybe lightning will strike. So these commands tell us that the problem is a spiritual problem and therefore the solution is a spiritual solution too. The people need to repent. And that means to change their thinking about God and the Word of God. To change their thinking from negative volition to positive volition. To change their thinking from arrogance to humility. Three, they need to turn back to God and worship Him. That should be the number one priority of their life. They need to turn back to God and to worship Him. Four, for the unbeliever, repentance means to consider the claims of Jesus Christ and believe in Him for eternal salvation. For the unbeliever, this means to consider the claims of Jesus Christ and to believe in Him for eternal salvation. Five, for the believer, this means to rebound and get cracking spiritually through intensified and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. For the believer, this means to rebound and get cracking spiritually with intensified and consistent metabolization of Bible doctrine. But it all has to start, you have to start with rebound. For the believer in Jesus Christ, has to start there. So point six, there is no spiritual recovery apart from admitting to God that you're wrong. That you have sinned. That you are wrong. That you're out of fellowship. That you're living in the cosmic system. If you don't start there, forget it. You might as well stay home. There is no spiritual recovery apart from admitting to God that you are wrong. You're out of fellowship through sin, and then you're switching your priorities and start growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Seven, when you have disobeyed God and the Word of God, then the order of the day is to repent, to change your thinking. That's exactly what repent means. When you have disobeyed God and the Word of God, then the order of the day is to repent, to change your thinking. Starting with rebound, acknowledging your sins to God, changing from negative volition to positive volition, changing from arrogance to humility, and then consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you do that, your most important love will be Jesus Christ. He will be the most important person in your life. And not only that, you will love coming to Bible class. You will love coming here. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else but here. And you'll come in here with something I haven't seen sometimes, a smile on your face. A smile like, hey, I'm here to learn God's Word. Wahoo! Some of you come in here and you look like you just had sauerkraut. And by the way, sauerkraut is no good unless it's sour. My mother made homemade sauerkraut. It was great. It was so sour it would make you pucker. But one day I hope each one of you will come in here. You would rather be here than anywhere else. Anywhere. You would rather be here and worship the Lord and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Because He is your number one most important love. So point eight. The command to fast means that this is to be a time of concentrated prayer and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The command to fast means that this is to be a time of concentrated prayer and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nine, it is a time to offer concentrated prayer for your nation, the United States of America. I love America. I love this nation. I love what that flag stands for. I love for the freedoms that that flag stands for. And I realize the many cases, the supreme sacrifice that men and women in this country gave so that we could have these freedoms. The freedom you have to assemble here to worship Jesus Christ today was purchased on battlefields all over the world. I love America. I love our freedom. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see our nation turn away from God and His Word. And I sure love our nation, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has set up systems of judgment for His client nation. We're the client nation of God right now. I don't know how much longer, but we are right now. But when the client nation of God turns away from God and His Word, then the five cycles of national discipline go into effect. And they conclude with the fifth cycle of national discipline, the removal of the nation as a client nation to God. It might be from enemies on the outside. It might be from enemies on the inside. So it's a time to offer concentrated prayer on behalf of the nation. 10, it's a time for intensified study of the Word of God and worshiping the Lord. It's a time for intensified study of the Word of God and worship of the Lord. 11, it is a time to get your priorities all back in order. Time to get your priorities all back in order. So the corrected translation of verse 15, three commands. Command number one, give a blast on the shofar in Zion. In other words, where the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, was in the Holy of Holies. Telling the people, this is a warning from the Lord Jesus Christ. Second command, set apart a holy fast. Third command, call a sacred assembly. So in verse 15, we had three commands. But you ain't seen nothing yet. But Debbie told me a long time, don't ever say ain't. You say ain't, you're stupid. So you can just say Pastor Olson's stupid, you just said ain't. I ain't going to do that anymore, though. Now the three commands of verse 15 are followed by five commands in verse 16. Command number one, gather the people. Command number two, set apart as holy a special assembly. Command number three, assemble the elders. Command number four, gather the children. Boy, this is getting serious. Normally, children are not included, but they're included here. Gather the children. Command number five, newlyweds. Usually the newlyweds, they are allowed to be exemption because they just got married. Not even the newlyweds are commanded to come as well. So, command number one, gather the people. This is the cal imperative of the verb asaf, joined by a makef to the noun asaf. That's aleph, A-S-A-P-H, asaf. And asaf means to gather people together into an assembly, to gather individuals together in the company of others. And the imperative mood is a command. And we have with that the noun am. That's I-N-A-M. Am is the Hebrew word for people or nation. So we'll translate it people. Gather the people. And then command number two, sanctify the congregation. This is the PL imperative of Kadash plus the noun Kahal. Kadash, again, we had this before. Kadash means to set apart as sacred, to observe something as sacred and holy. We have it in the PL stem. The PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. The PL stem of Kadash means this assembly of people is for the purpose of intensified worship of the Lord. And then we have Kahal with this. Looks like that in the Hebrew. Q-A-H-A-L, Kahal. Kahal means assembly or convocation. This is a special assembly for the purpose of repentance, biblical repentance, and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Intensive worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, command number one, gather the people. Command number two, set apart a holy special assembly. Now command number three, assemble the elders. That doesn't mean assemble the Mormons, although they all call themselves elders and that. This is totally different. There were no Mormons around in Joel's day. This is the cal imperative of the verb kavats plus the masculine plural of the adjective zakein. Kavats. That's Q-A-B-A-T-S, kavats. And kavats means to gather or to assemble. And you are assembling the zakein. Zakim looks like this in the Hebrew. Z-A-Q-E-N, Zakim. And as an adjective, Zakim means old, but most of the time in the Old Testament scriptures, it's used substantively, as in our verse, and therefore it is a noun and means old man. Now you may remember from Joel 1 verse 2 that the Zakane, or old man, was a technical term, a Hebrew technical term describing a person in authority. So Zakane, a person in authority. Couple of things. One, the command is to assemble those who are in authority in Judah, the southern kingdom, during the infancy of King Joash. Remember, Joash was just a child, and therefore he did not rule the southern kingdom. He was going to be the future ruler of the southern kingdom, but he is just a child at the time of Joel, and therefore he was not ruling. Instead, the Zakane and the Kohane, the priests, were the ones ruling the nation. So the command is to assemble those who are in authority in Judah during the infancy of the king Joash. Two, the Zakane are the men who make up the leadership of the country. The men who make up the leadership of the country. Three, at this time, the leadership of the southern kingdom Judah was composed of two groups. The Zakane, those people in authority, the elders, and the Kohane, the priests. So at this time, time that Joel is writing this book, the leadership of the southern kingdom Judah was composed of two parts, the Zakane, the elders, and Kohane, the priests. Four, the Zakane, or the elders, were civil leaders who played a prominent part in the government and the judicial system in Israel. The elders were the civil leaders who played a prominent part in the government and the judicial system in Israel. So, now we have had three of the five commands. Command number one, gather the people. Command number two, set apart a holy special assembly. Command number three, assemble the elders, those in authority in Israel. Now command number four, gather the children and those that nurse at the breast. All children. You say, well, why would you have all? Because this is so serious. The nation is about to be removed under the fifth cycle of discipline. So Joel is including the whole nation. Gather the children and those that nurse at the breast. This is the cal imperative of the verb asaf, plus the masculine plural of the noun olal, plus the cal active participle of yanak, plus the plural of the noun shav. Once again, we have the verb asaf, which means to gather people together. The imperative mood is a command to gather all the children and the infants. And then we have olal. Two different categories here. The first one is olal. Ayin, long O-L-A-L. Olal. And olal means child. And the children here is one category, are distinguished from the next category, infants who are still nursing. And the second category, category number two, Yanak. Y-A-N-A-Q, Yanak. And Yanak literally is the verb that means to suck. And it's used here for infants, babies, nursing, at mother's breast. The participle is substantival. This functions as a noun. Correctly translated, the ones who keep on nursing, the ones who are nursing. And the word shad S-H-A-D, that's the Hebrew word for breast. So the corrected translation now of the first four commands. Command number one, gather the people. Command number two, set apart a holy special assembly. A holy special assembly. And notice it says gather the people. That's all the people. The third command, assemble the elders, those in authority in Israel. The fourth command, gather the children and the ones who are nursing at the breast. Now command number five. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and let the bride out of the closet. This was just too much for me when I saw that we had to let the bride out of the closet. I took Latin in high school. I took Latin in junior high school. I took Latin in high school. One of the best things I could have ever done, taking Latin. And the Latin teacher in high school was a lady by the name of Mrs. Rubens. She was the only one probably that even, she lived back at the time of the Romans, I think. She had been there for a long time. And one day, she came into class and she had two different kinds of shoes on. And she stood up in front of us and sheepishly, oh, she said, I know you're looking at my shoes. Two different kinds, but my husband made me get dressed in the closet. That's exactly what this means here. No, it says, let the bride out of the closet. That's the King James, thundering diction of the King James. So we have the jussive of the verb yatsah, plus the noun katan, plus the preposition min prefixed to the noun keder with the third person singular suffix, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun kala, plus the preposition min prefixed to the noun kupa. Well, we start out with the verb yasa. Y-A-T-S-A Aleph, yatsah. And yatsah means to go out, to come out. We have the verb, it's in the jussive. The jussive. Now, the jussive is the volitional mood of the third person. The volitional mood of the second person is the imperative. The volitional mood of the first person is the cohortative. We have the jussive. The action of the jussive is expressed here normally as a wish or a prayer in the third person. You would translate it, may he or let him. That's normally. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs tells us in the Hebrew lexicon, when it is from one in authority, then it should be translated as a command. And this is command number five. A command. And then we have katan. It's C-H-A-T-A-N, katan. That's the Hebrew word for bridegroom. Katan is bridegroom. Then the preposition men. M-I-N, that's the preposition of separation. Separated from, out of. Out of is how we'll translate it. And then we have Kader. C-H-E-D-E-R, Kader. And Kader is a private room, a bedroom, an inner chamber. This is the bridegroom's private room. And then we have the conjunction Vav, which introduces the bride. And the bride is Kala. K-A-L-L-A-H, Kala. That's the bride. And then the preposition men, prefix to the noun Kupa. That's C-H-U, and we have a doubling, P-P-A-H, Kupa. And Kupa, that's the word that the King James translator translated this closet. And it makes it sound like the bridegroom has his bride stuffed in a closet. But that's not what we have here. The bride is not in the closet. This is a special bridal chamber. Canopy, it means canopy or special bridal chamber. So, now we have the five mandates. Command number one, gather the people. Command number two, set apart a holy special assembly. Command number three, assemble the elders, those in authority in Israel. Command number four, gather the children and the one, two categories, the children and the ones who are nursing at the breast. And command number five, let the bridegroom come out of his private room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Now normally, children, infants, newlyweds are eliminated from this. They are exempted from this. But this is so serious. This is so the time for spiritual recovery is now. And Joel is making this very, very clear. This is for everyone because we are on the verge of being removed under the fifth cycle of national discipline. All right, well, we got through eight commands tonight. Gee, that's fantastic. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.